Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your plan of salvation for us when we accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanksgiving is a holiday when we give thanks for all the wonderful blessings which we have. We enjoy the bountiful blessings which God has given our country and us personally. And we thank God for that. About Jesus arriving on earth, we are told something about that in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 10. And that verse says, "An angel said unto them," the shepherds in the field, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Yes, the good news of great joy to all people. And for this we can rejoice and have great joy even when we are hurting, because as a believer, we know that our future will have great joy. And we will be with our Savior in that heavenly place. Oh, the joy! And we have a different path, those who believe in Jesus do. And all of a sudden, we can get understanding of that often emotional experience as a believer when we come to believe. Now, we have different paths to believing, and some of us it's practically instant, and others of us, well, it takes a good long time when we have to study and read the Bible at least once. And that was my path. We all have a different path to Jesus Christ. But we all arrive at the point of belief by that different path. It may be a short path or a long path, and it may involve great pleasure or great pain. But when we arrive at our faith, we do thank God that He would love us so that He would even be nailed to a cross for our sins. And how blessed we are that we have the opportunity to accept His gift of salvation today. And then we live our life like we mean it. And we have that born-again experience. Hooray! Oh, this world is full of every sort of experience and wonder. And the wonder of eternal salvation is one. But there are just natural wonders in the world as well. Oh, and just think of how we used to live. We have advanced so much with technology. Wow! From 100 years ago, things have changed so much for mankind. And it's just amazing the amount of technological progress we have had. It's been every sort of progress, including the spiritual progress. Well, that's arguable, but I see progress. And we do want to be careful that we just cling to righteousness and holiness, and we want to cling to the light of Jesus Christ. And there isn't darkness out there. We want to be aware of it and protect ourselves from it as much as we're able. We want to focus on the good, and we want to have the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. We do know we live in this world. And in this world, there is so much going on. We are aware of very much, and we are unaware of so very much also. I talk about the worldly dangers sometime, and how we can avoid the difficulties that just might come along. They come right close to us, or to the people we know, or into our neighborhood geographically. So we may have a spiritual battle in front of us. It may come in the form of technology or a physical situation. Well, all sorts of things happen. It's a battlefield out there, and we want to stand with righteousness, stand with holiness, and be aware that we do have, the earth is groaning with volcanoes and earthquakes, and all sorts of things happen, and we want to get through every bit of difficulty that could come up in this life. So that's why I remind everyone of the spiritual battle we are in, so that we may stay holy and pure and righteous. It's just the best of our ability that we do that. And then we also are cautious about what could happen in our physical world. And that's why I think we have a storehouse for our own sake and for the sake of others, to share it with kindness with other people. That way we can get through a difficulty, and other people can too. Now, just a few days ago, a fellow believer told me, the words out of Matthew 6:26, that God provides for the birds of the air, and are we not more valuable than the birds, than they? Therefore, be not anxious. And I say, yes, I know that's true. But there are other verses in the Bible also. There are so many proverbs that tell us that it's good to be prepared and to have things set aside. And so there's more than one aspect. If you look at the entire Bible, there's plenty about preparedness and storing up. So I say look at the entire book and not just one part where, yes, don't worry, and that's true. Well, don't worry is true, but we can also have it as a thought, a plan, or a concern to have some stores. After all, we do that in life. We have plans for just what might happen. You know that we sometimes have to plan to have enough money for putting gas in our car even. Now, we don't say, we don't need gas in our car because God says he will provide. No, we plan that in, and I think it's just fine to plan in our needs like food and water and other physical needs that we can plan for. Yes, I think that it's not intended for us to sit back in life, talk to Jesus all day long and do nothing, or maybe collect government welfare. Now, there's people that it's right for them to do that, but I think as much as we are able, we are to be active in this world, and that includes making tents like Paul the Apostle did. It's doing things. It's being an interactive part with people and producing. That's what I think. Now, there are answers to this question, and different people have different answers. It's just the way it is. People are different, and we just know how important it is to be faithful to God in everything that we understand. God's Bible talks about so many things, and prayer is a great part of understanding what you apply in your life that you understand and have read in the Bible and from your prayer life. Well, I think we are to provide for ourselves, our the people close to us, and also when we have charitable giving, that's another thing that we do. And this whole subject is worth examination. It is a good thing to look into. You see, we are in the world, of course, in it, but not of it. And so we deal with all sorts of well, there's surprises sometime and troubles, and so we deal with it. That's just the way life goes. Sometimes there's the trouble, sometimes there's the wonderful parts. And we have to be careful about the practical things that we can make choices about, including the regular old laws that there are. We have to interact with the laws, and we have to be responsible for what we see as the right steps to make. Now, sometimes it is with charity, and sometimes it is with having, a border. That's a question that a lot of people have different opinions about. And our southern border of the United States has lots of people crossing over. And that's well, there's some parts of it that are really, really good, but somehow when we give as a nation, we through our government give so many benefits that is something that makes a little change in the equation too. I don't know what would happen if we did not give anyone any government aid. Maybe we would not have the 400,000 or 800,000 people per year who are arrested by our Border Patrol. That's a lot of people wanting to come into this nation of ours. And if we are providing benefits, that's a great big expense. So I think it is worthy of examination. Oh, yes. Especially when we give so many dollars to people when our nation is already so far in debt. We have financial troubles brewing because there is not enough money, and all we do is we keep borrowing as a nation, as a community, as businesses, and as individuals. The borrowing that is going on is tremendous. It just makes it hard for us all, especially if we have a glitch in our economy. If we ever have a slowdown, then we should really, really be concerned. Well, nowadays we see so much going on, sure, at our borders, sure, in other countries, and countries have borders. Look in the Middle East. You don't get to just cross in a country. How many times have I found that you read a story about people being in prison because they illegally came into a country? It's everywhere. And in the Middle East, there's so much of that going on with, say, for instance, Syria. Or look what's going on around Israel right now. There are hundreds of rockets being fired from the Palestinian Gaza Strip into Israel. Hundreds of rockets! Sometimes in a week, sometimes in a day even. If you look back in history, it's like it's an act of war. And there's tension going on in so many places in our world. We wonder why. If there was a real answer, well, I think we would know it. I think there's multiple answers and reasons why. And I think that one of the things that just might have to do with it is the development of gas, natural gas, and petroleum oil within the territory of Israel, because that's going to make a lot of income for Israel. So what does that mean? I'm not sure. But it surely could be a cause or a contribution to the violence and war that is going on, because there's a question of who gets to control that source of wealth. If we knew the answer, yeah, we could figure it out, but like with so many things, it's complicated. So there is the wealth factor. There's also a spiritual component. with so many countries wanting to actually destroy Israel, to wipe them off the face of the map. That is talked about. And we hear about all the troops, Chinese, Russian, Iranian troops in well, it would be in Syria, but it's all for the purpose of going against Israel. So it's a source of conflict, and we ought to be aware of it. And we can only guess what would happen in the future, because there's conflict. Conflict in the Golan Heights, conflict on the borders of that small country of Israel. Well, we know there's trouble brewing one way or another. The Middle East is full of trouble. Iran has been having trouble with protesters, too. That's another little source of domestic problems for Iran. They want more freedom, and they are protesting and attacked by Iranian security forces. And every so often, there's a few people who are killed by the security forces. There's maybe five people here and five people there, and pretty soon you have 100 or hundreds. Anyway, there are struggles going on within different countries of the world. Hey, look at Hong Kong. What is going to happen there? You know that the protesters are trying to preserve their Western style of freedom, which they haven't been enjoying as long as they've been a protectorate of England. Well, in Hong Kong, there is something going on, because China wants to control, of course, Hong Kong, because it is their territory. And we wonder what's going to happen. China has not been able to quiet down Hong Kong. And there surely could be a massive troop movement at any time. Apparently, there are troops just kind of waiting to do that, Chinese troops. And there are great concerns in Hong Kong that the protesters that are arrested will be sent to mainland China. The concern is that they will simply disappear into internment camps within mainland China. This is a normal operating procedure on the part of China. See, in the last 20 years, there have been tens of thousands of minorities like Chinese Christians and Chinese Falun Gong and Chinese Uyghur Muslims, and they just disappear into internment camps. They are relocated. And a part of the process is when they get put into an internment camp, they have their blood tested and typed. And how else could that be but so that they can find out if there's a market for those prisoners and their organs. There's testimony that is available, but we just don't seem to be aware of it. There have been a few U.S. newspapers, a few Canadian newspapers, a few other sources of media around. Oh, and there's also been the United Nations. They have investigated the organ harvesting that is going on by the Chinese government of the Chinese prisoners. And the discoveries are just something we cannot quite fathom, how those organs can be harvested on people while they're alive and without anesthesia. It is just so astounding that that could go on. But the testimony is out there, sworn testimonies about this. But it just somehow doesn't get well known. I don't know why. I guess people don't want to say something that China won't like. You know, there's people in groups that really are, they don't want to offend China. And you look just back in October of 2019, One of the L.A. Lakers, LeBron James, he said something that was supporting the protesters in Hong Kong. And you know what happened? China made a fuss. And the general manager, Daryl Morey, he had to apologize to in public for that comment. Well, China is forcing so many situations because there is a economic situation where they have economic interests in so many areas of the United States. And that makes businesses pay attention to what is going on. China has a power in other countries that we don't agree with because they use it as a force. And this stands against our traditions of United States freedom of speech. Well, China wants to exert its influence, or you could call it control, over so many areas of the world in any way that they can. See, this is a spiritual battle we are in, and yes, it takes place right in front of us in our physical world, in our political world, in our personal lives. It is a battlefield, and we are a part of this spiritual battle. We all are. Every human being is a part of it. And that is one of the consequences that we have of being alive now. But it's also that we are developing artificial intelligence, and that is causing connectivity to go all sorts of places that we just didn't expect. I don't know if you remember way back when computers were first getting started. I do. I remember that they were going to make things so much easier and quicker. And it's true. Computers did. But like I said, I remember it was in the late 1970s. The insurance company that I dealt with was changing over to computerized records. And you know, there was four or five file clerks that lost their jobs because of the computerization. And that was just the price of progress. That's everybody knows that. So they got new jobs, but the point is that's what technology does also. It takes jobs away from people. We will see where it will all end up. We'll just see. I don't know. I wonder about it. And we see nowadays there has been years of technology and the development of computerized machines. Oh, the computers nowadays are just amazing. The robots are amazing. You can look online on YouTube, for instance, and you can see that robots can do some very basic tasks like moving boxes or sorting things. Just like our mail is sorted, that's read by computers too. But robots are another little element there, and there are demonstrations of what the robots can do. Now, I'm not just talking about what the little operations like sorting packages are or delivering a packages by drone to your doorstep. No, those are all true too. But there are robots that are incredibly human-looking. They are intended to make you think of humanity when you look at them. And then there are also military robots. That is something that is a field that is really developing. There are robots that look like more like a horse than anything else, or more like a dog than anything else. And they can travel over rough terrain. They can use wheels on them. They can balance as they move. They can carry loads. They can jump. I saw there was a kind of a surveillance drone that could jump up on top of a building, a 20, 25-foot building, and go to the roof and look around and jump back down. That was a small, I guess you'd call it a drone? I don't know, but it was a little computerized thing. Anyway, the concept of robots has changed so much. Now, we can remember that there have been concepts of robots that talk and concepts of robots that do, and it's just getting more and more able to do things, more to do more complex tasks. If you look at the robots nowadays, they are so human-looking. They can be, and they can have expressions that go along with their conversations that are just exactly the expressions a human would make. They move their robot body, and that is just how it all goes. That's what technology has done. Within the last few years, there have been people who have looked into the artificial intelligence so deeply, and they have developed robots. You've seen them on television. One is called Sophia, another Rhonda, another one Madoka, another one Jai. See, they are to interact with humanity of every culture. And there's a broadcaster on television in China who is actually a robot. See, this is artificial intelligence that is going on today. And I think it's good to be aware of it because we don't know how advanced the advanced models are. Maybe you remember a few years ago, there were two robots that were talking to each other, first in English, and then they began talking with a language that was not known and apparently has not yet been deciphered. I don't know, but the language is, it was interesting. It was a machine language. They talked shorthand. Well, what would happen? It would have happened if those robots that were talking to each other had not been unplugged. What if you could not unplug a robot? I don't know. We are in a new age with advancements all over the place, and including the military. It seems like the research and development that goes on in the military is really where the advancements are. So we see the science fiction movies around, and to look at the changes that continually happen, it's just astounding. I mean, there's people who remember RoboCop from 30 years ago, but they have developed so many different robots that are athletic, that can run, that can move faster, more effectively. Oh, and shoot! Oh, yes, there are robots that will shoot, and they have discernment for who the targets are, and they have the facial recognition, or they recognize the people who would have their hands up in a surrender mode, or if they have a weapon, or if their face is covered. Those robots are just amazing, and you can look them up online. There are several companies who make military robots or develop them. Boston Dynamics, Hanson Robotics, Bosstown Dynamics. Anyway, they're interesting, and it's amazing what is going on in technology, and I'm sure we don't even know the half of what is being developed. Well, it has been a fantasy for a long time to have a servant, a slave, somebody who does what you want them to do. That's the concept here, and that concept is developing with robotics. You can have a robot I suppose that one day we will be able to have a robot that will simply obey a command. And you know what? It's pretty dangerous, because a robot does not have a Christian or human sense of morality. There is no code of morals in a robot. And this could be a real problem if someone in command has at their disposal a powerful and tireless robot that will do whatever they are told to do. Well, how do you think good people would be defending themselves against a robot, a military robot, a police robot that was evil? Oh, yes. I don't know the answers, but I know that we need to have human moral values, the highest moral values of the people who are in positions of power. That's what you want. And to me, that means people with a strong Judeo-Christian value system. So please consider that when you interact with people, when you vote. We need a sense of morality that is strong. Yes. There's so many people who don't have it, a sense of human morality and even compassion. So we have to be aware that there are people like that, and we have to protect ourselves from someone who would take advantage of us. So be aware of that. That's a good principle to be aware of, including for the people that you vote for in the elections whenever they come around. Just be careful that you are voting for people who have moral values. And don't get fooled, because so often, you know the way it seems to work. They say they believe like you. They say they will do what you want them to do. They get elected and they change. So make sure you have a good look at people to see that they are doing what you expect them to do in the way of political decisions and directions for our country. See, there's all sorts of people in the world. And if you look at, let's go back to Hong Kong. There are people who have been born and raised in Hong Kong as a British colony, and they are in the tradition of Western laws and freedoms. And now China wants to take over those protectorates like Hong Kong, and they are making steps. But the people of Hong Kong are protesting by the hundreds of thousands. The people of Hong Kong, they have five demands. One is that the Chinese national government does not call the protests riots. They say they're protests. Let's see. Two is that there will be amnesty for the activists who have been arrested, and they don't want to be taken to mainland China. Three, that there would be an independent inquiry into the alleged police brutality. Four, that there would be universal suffrage, which means the right to vote for all people under China's control. Amazing that there would not be universal suffrage. Anyway, the right to vote. And number five is that they would withdraw what they call the extradition bill. And the extradition bill would make the activists be taken to China. Oh, now the way it is now is that the activists are set to be taken to China and tried in China's mainland court system. But they want to be tried in the Hong Kong court system. So that's the five demands that those protests are making in Hong Kong. And they've been going on every weekend for months and months now. I wonder what'll happen. Well, they only are on the weekends because the people of Hong Kong seem to be going to work on weekdays and only protesting on the weekend. Well, I wonder what'll happen. The protesters do value things that we have in America, and they have played our national anthem at times, and it's kind of interesting. People value America so much when they don't have the freedoms. So, fellow Americans, I say, let us keep the rights that we have and remember to stand strong in that. And don't get scared out of the events that are happening in the day. Don't get scared by natural disasters. Don't get scared by terrorism. No, just keep our rights, and that's what we want to do. We have our Bill of Rights, and that is so important to keep. We don't need an authority coming against us like somebody who's an authority in China. I remember there was, I'll just go back to this for 1 minute here, less than a minute. The president of China said that all the protesters in Hong Kong should be warned that if they in any way support the separation of Hong Kong from China, or if they would be supporting of any attempts to divide China, then in the end their bodies would be smashed and their bones would be ground to powder. That's what the president of China said. He's more like a dictator than anything we know as a president. In fact, he has been appointed the president of China for life by the Chinese Communist Party. And he says, anybody who wants to divide China will have their bodies smashed and their bones ground to powder. Unquote, unquote. Pretty amazing. Well, communism has different forms. And in China, there is the Communist Chinese Party. So there are different forms of government all over the land. And we certainly do have the best. We are a republic, which has a democratic element to it. But first, it is a republic, which means that our rights are guaranteed and that they cannot be voted away or taken away by government. That's the idea behind it. So we're in a world where there's all sorts of conflicts between different ways of forms of government. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we don't go the way of other countries. And with our money system having the troubles that it is having is certainly a problem that, well, it's going to impact us. The countries that don't have good wealth or bank management are going to, well, they already have been in trouble. A look at history. Trouble, trouble, trouble. I mean, look at Venezuela. They used to be, well, I guess at first, like 70 years ago, they were under military rule, authority, and then they became democratic, and now they are a socialist country, as they have been for, I don't know, it might be 30 years now, more than 20. So, they are a socialist country that leans towards communism, and their economy has been destroyed. For instance, here, I was looking, this is 2012, one United States dollar would buy 4 Venezuelan bolivars. That's their dollar. And then, that was 2012. $1 would buy 4. 2015, one U.S. dollar would buy 90. Whoops, I missed a zero. 900 Venezuelan bolivars. That's 3 years later, from 4 to 90. And in 2017, one U.S. dollar would buy 90,000 Venezuelan bolivars. So, that's the kind of hyperinflation that has gone on in many countries, and it could go on here because we have unsound money. our money is being printed so fast. That's what happens when a government prints too much paper currency. It creates devaluation, inflation, and then devaluation, and an unstable society. So now that's what has happened in Venezuela. The people are not only broke, they are hungry. It's a fact that the cats and the dogs have disappeared off the streets. Why? Because they've been eating. They have been eaten because people are hungry. So let us appreciate the good things about our capitalist system, our republic. Let us appreciate it, and as we go forward, we want to honor and glorify and thank our Christian God. All over the world there has been struggles, and we have had a long run of prosperity. So we must be careful. There are lots of stresses upon us, and we want to withstand them and to keep our rights and our freedoms. That's just the way it is. Sometimes we have our government intervening with this or that, and sometimes the government does not always do the best job of protecting our rights and freedoms. We have to have that internal value within ourselves, and that's the great advantage of our Judeo-Christian heritage. Our government does do a very good and wonderful job at lots of things. And one of them is to create bureaucracy. Government does that, and it never shrinks, and the people pay more and more for the bureaucracy. That's just the way government works. So I just want to remind you that we want to protect our rights and our freedoms. All over the world, we have seen governments make major, major problems for the people that it governs. And we don't want that to happen in our land. So we must keep vigilant and watchful that we support a righteous government. And like I said, I think that is the Christian Judea value system. Government just wants to extend its power into every area. It's just the way it is that politicians want to be powerful in politics. And so they enrich themselves with power. They enrich themselves with privileges, with wealth. And that's just the system. Look at how many, it seems like congressmen are, a whole lot of them have been millionaires before they got into office. And it seems like while they are in office, they increase their wealth. It's a pattern. How do politicians and important political How do important political people get rich while they are in office? Happens all the time. But how? It's not sensible that they get to be a millionaire or multimillionaire on the salary that they receive. Well, look closely, my friends, because these things are going on. It has happened all throughout time. In ancient societies, in Greece and in Rome, and the societies and governmental systems of the world today. It's just a historical lesson. We can observe it, and we can say, oh, I don't want that to happen to me and to my nation. Nope. But if we are not watchful, it will happen, and we need to know what kind of principles we stand for, both within our government and within our economy. I just heard a poll where only 30% of the United States citizens could name the three branches of government. And they are the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch, and they all are supposed to interact and also to offset the power of each one so that one doesn't dominate: executive, legislative, and judicial. Well, we know history, and we know that things go different from what we expect. Power goes back to power, and we want to keep power in the hands of the people and protect our rights and our freedoms. To do that, we have to be aware. We have to understand that there are patterns in history and that we don't want to repeat them. And like Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 1:9, he said, "There is nothing new under the sun." Well, here's the full verse: "The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." So that's what he said. It's true then, it's true today. Haven't we observed that in life? We see a repeat of so many things in life. Even just in the Bible, you read the Bible and you can see all the things that have gone on before. They're still happening. Often enough, the evil that is going on is not spelled out. The Bible will talk about, in ways that are just a little bit different. They might talk about the sacrifices to that, it's a little g god, Moloch. And when you look at the commentaries or the history books, you find out that which they did was to sacrifice their babies to that little g god Moloch. And in a way, we're doing the same thing in a different way today with abortion. We are killing our babies. Often enough, it's the firstborn, just like in the old days. And just like in the old days, it is because of a financial reasoning. Oh, boy. Well, yes, so things a lot are the same. And we can look in the Bible, even though they're not spelled out, they are incredibly the same. Especially if you look at the commentaries, you will see it. Even the atrocities mentioned in the Bible, they go on today. Let's get up to another subject. Well, one of the things that the Bible shows us repeatedly is that all the sins that are done have consequences. And while we can be forgiven of our sins when we confess them and agree to never do them again, that is in living that born-again lifestyle. And then we can be forgiven for those sins that we did. Remember that being a member of a church does not mean that your soul is saved. What it is belonging to Jesus that saves your soul. I remember there was a joke I heard on Christian radio. I guess it's okay to repeat it. A pastor arrives in heaven and he says, "Where are the Baptists?" And the answer is, "There are no Baptists here." And he asks, "Where are the Protestants?" And is answered, "There are no Protestants here." And he asks, "Where are the Lutherans?" And he is answered, "There are no Lutherans here." You see, in heaven, there are only followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's not all the divisions that we make. I think the thing that we do is to read our Bible and to understand everything we possibly can. Recognizes that we don't want to have the divisions in our churches, the divisions in our life. We want to be unified under the banner of Jesus Christ. Yes, we want to read the Word of God and worship God and Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we can hear a sermon in church that is really good. Sometimes it's about a lesson in life, or about love, or death, or sin, or respect, or all those things are good. But it is most important that we hear the Bible. The Bible! And to have church music which gives God glory, to give God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit glory. So I think that's one of the things that is important to remember. The singing is to be about giving glory to God. And our relationship, so often the music is about our relationship with God or what we want or something like that. And, well, that's good too, but I think we should do it the best we know how. And the best that we know how, I think, is to talk about the glory of God. And, So, you know how I often talk about the economy. It's still something that I think we need to pay attention to, the economy. The Bible talks about money all the time, so I think it's okay to talk about it. These days, we have a national debt, and it accumulates and accumulates, and we have to pay for that interest on our national debt. The interest is a whole lot. It's a great big amount. It's like 10% of our budget. It's a lot. So I think we have to make wise decisions about our economy, about our currency, and about, how much is printed. You see, the more inflation we have, the less value each dollar has. That has been understood clearly by our founding fathers, and we are apparently at a point of learning that lesson yet again. Wow, not good. Not good to have so much debt and our country running a deficit. $23 trillion now, and we are paying 10% of our federal revenue on interest on that debt. Wouldn't it be nice if we had 10% to spend on projects which actually benefited us, the citizens? Well, yes, it would be good. And today, if the economy goes down more, the percentage of the income that we pay will increase. It could be 20% if our economy goes into a decline. And what's one of the things that's going on right now is that people are retiring. 10,000 people per day are retiring. And that means that there's two parts. One is that people will have less money to spend because they have less income. So that means a slowdown in our economy. And the other thing that it means is the government will have to pay for more and more Social Security, money it doesn't have. And so what do? We borrow. Oh boy, and borrowing makes for an unstable economy, and an unstable economy leads to an unstable society. It's not a good thing. It's dangerous. Yeah, it is. So there's many reasons that we could have an economic slowdown, and so we follow the same old lesson that there's always been. We need to have savings and spend less than we earn. Have savings. It's just the right way to do it. We've done that all along in history, but we've forgotten those lessons. We have an international situation going on with countries here and countries there and the trade that goes on. And for a long time, it was thought that China would be a market for the United States manufactured goods. But no, that's not happening. because China is having is becoming a manufacturing center, and China is having a recession on its own. For instance, people are having their savings being rerouted. Oh, and there was a hospital. Oh, I can't remember the province, but in China, a hospital needed money to continue operating. And so they pressured all the doctors and all the nurses to put money towards the hospital. Now, they weren't just talking a little bit of money here. They were talking $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 per employee. And that doesn't do so well for the economy. So, just be glad that we have as many wonderful and good things here in this country. Thank God for it. Thank God. And remember that you want to be prepared for whatever can happen. So you can get my preparedness information if you would like. And you can always listen to any other past broadcasts of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. That's all lowercase and no spaces. If you do it different, another website comes up. So you can, if you would like my preparedness pamphlet, you can send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7, 222, Chico, California, 95927. And thank you for your prayers and your donations. They are both very appreciated. So until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.